Hi, hello everybody, it's John, and as you probably remember, that I've been interviewing people who have some connection with the dominant talking newspaper. And I was looking down the list and I thought, there's going to come a time when Christine Ward is going to come up on this and I shall be interviewing her. And she introduced me to the talking newspaper. So we've been wondering how the best to tackle this, but as you know, I became involved about 6 years ago doing interviews with interesting people, and then of course Elizabeth and I, my wife and I, got involved with doing quizzes as well. So that's my involvement with the talking newspaper. But Christine, when did you actually start? Can you remember so far back?
I don't know exactly when, John, but first of all, thank you very much for joining the team. Oh. 6 years ago, I'm really pleased that you're on board. It's great.
It's been great fun. Yeah,
it is. Mine started because I knew Rod Wainwright. I'd been at college with Rod Wainwright, and he was part of the club that put talking newspaper into lots of different towns and cities. And he decided that Todmorden should have one. So the Todmorden Lions, in fact.
Right.
Yeah. So the Todmorden Lions started talking newspaper in Todmorden. Barbara Rudman was one of his helpers. And because I knew Rod, I approached him and asked him whether he wanted somebody to help to read the news.
Right.
This was in the days when we had the newspaper, well, very similar to the web as it is done
as it
now,
is now, yeah. But done in
and that's on the newspaper side, right. The news side. I didn't hear from Rod for ages and ages and ages, and then Rod said, well, I don't want you to read the news,
no,
but will you interview XYZ? I didn't know who it was.
So he suggested that to you, then,
yes,
right?
Yeah. And Barbara Rudman was the editor of the magazine section, as it was then.
Yeah.
And so I used to present my works to her, and some of them I die with embarrassment.
Well, you look back on them,
really, you think, oh my goodness. I'd got plenty of time because at this stage in my life I'd had a very, very bad head injury. When I was 50 I had a skiing accident.
Oh.
And it knocked all intellectual thought, maths, chess, anything like that that needed a memory, I just hadn't got it. In fact, if you know how Michael Schumacher, racing driver, well, he had exactly the same accident that I had.
Right.
But unfortunately for him, he was wearing a helmet that had got a camera attached to it by a spike. And when he fell and banged his head on ice skiing, his spike on the camera went into his brain.
Good Lord.
So I had exactly the same as he had.
Right.
And it took me 10 years to be able to get right. So I finished all of my activities, more or less. I couldn't do my job. I had to resign from the
really?
Job.
Really? That's how it happened.
I'd lost all use of my right-hand side in my body.
Yeah.
A bit like a stroke.
Or
a bleed on the brain.
Yeah,
same. That's what I had. So I had no intellect at all. So I then decided that I had to develop other things that I could do. That's why I thought I could do this news reading. I could still do all the reading and all the things that I could do before the accident. Anyway, Rod Wainwright had other ideas, and I started on the interviewing.
And the rest is history.
Because I'm nosy.
So where do you get your inspiration from? You know,
people.
People. It's all people, isn't it? But are there particular sorts of people that you're interested in?
Well, a lot of my inspiration comes from people that I meet, that I think would be a good story there.
Yeah.
Some people are very backward in coming forward, and I love to get them
out.
And draw them out
and
raise their profile.
Right.
And, you know, they won't blow their own trumpet, so I blow it for them.
Right.
I hope to, anyway.
Yeah.
The other thing I do is I want to blow the trumpet for Todmorden.
Yes, right.
A lot of the things were done for Todmorden.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. I'm a bit the same. I've been trying to interview people who get things going for Todmorden, like the agricultural show and family fun day and, you know, things like that, and as well as interesting people. I must talk about interesting people. I must say that the more or less the first person I interviewed, I came really badly unstuck. And it was Douglas Whittaker. And somebody said, oh, you should interview Douglas. Well, I did. And it went on for 3 hours. So I submitted it to Peter Gibson. And he said, no, John, this isn't really what we're after. We had a bit of a discussion about that. And so I went back to Douglas, bless him, and we concentrated on just part of his story, which was his part in the landings on Sicily during the Second World War. That was a bit more concise, because keeping people to time, you keep reminding me, is not easy, is it?
It's not easy at all. I had a similar problem with two people that I've interviewed. The first one was Donald Carpenter, who was the education officer.
Yes.
For Todmorden, and again, I'd been to the same college that Donald had been to, so and I knew him quite well. But he insisted on, like, the one that you just...
Douglas Whittaker.
Whittaker, sir.
Yeah.
He insisted on going through every minute detail of his life. Very interesting, but really,
not quite what we wanted.
No, we wanted a much abbreviated one.
Yeah.
And the other one, which was an absolute delight, and we made it into about 4 or 5 episodes, was Ian Coates.
I know, that was marvellous, was that? I really enjoyed that series.
Ian Coates, who rode the motorbike all around the world.
Absolutely amazing.
And it's a catchphrase in our house. What map did you use for Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't use a map. I just kept the sea on my left.
The left-hand side, I went all the way right. No, yeah. Oh, dear. And I mean, there must have been so much more he could have said.
Yeah.
Like it started off on the tip of South America, and then the next thing we knew, it was up in Churchill in Alaska or wherever it is, and he sort of missed out all the rest of America. Yeah,
it was amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
When COVID struck, how did you cope with that? When you couldn't really interview people face to face, the same.
Not very well. I got quite a lot of things planned. And I did quite a few interviews in the garage, in our garage.
Oh, right, yeah.
The garage door wide open.
Really?
Yeah, people sitting wrapped in blankets.
Yes, with the safe distance.
Yeah. It was the only way that we could do it.
Yeah.
And then I managed to get Rene Cryer to do some of her...
Yeah, she was interesting.
Her talks about the holidays that she'd been
in Hornsfeld House as well.
And the Honrisfeld, yes, that's been resolved now. That's
sort of fell back on some of the holidays we'd been on and some of the books I'd read and that kind of thing, and tried to find something interesting to talk about, because I thought, well, if this goes on much longer, we're never going to be able to get out and see anybody.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that when you're interviewing people, you've got to have some background, some sort of liaison with them, haven't you?
Yes, you do.
And the COVID just stopped off.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And we couldn't get together with them. But we got through, didn't we? And I think between us, we managed some interesting interviews.
Well done, Peter Gibson, as well, for breaking up one or two good ones.
Yes, I did. That's been fascinating. So, you've had a long and varied history with the talking newspaper.
Over 25 years, I think.
25 years, right.
Over, yeah. I've been very, very privileged to meet a lot of people. Anne Widdicombe, we managed Anne Widdicombe.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
The telephone.
Oh,
yes,
right.
Yeah.
How do you do that? I mean, do you keep putting the microphone to the telephone?
You, first of all, you brave Peter Gibson's wrath, because the quality's not very good.
Yes.
But you put the phone on loudspeaker and then do it that way.
Ah,
yes,
I see.
Yes.
Oh,
and,
right.
Of course, you just finished... the dancing, where she'd been in, was it Come Dancing?
Oh, yes, she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was priceless, wasn't it? Oh,
yes,
being shown.
And then I did Peter Davison, he was comparing a show at Victoria Theatre in Halifax.
Oh, right.
And I asked him to wish our listeners Happy Christmas.
Right.
And do you know what he said?
No.
He would be privileged to be able to do that. And so the only place that we could go, yeah, where it's backstage, was in a cupboard.
Oh, that sounds about right, doesn't it? Yeah.
In a back, you know, in,
yeah,
back cupboard.
Literally in the back cupboard.
I couldn't see any of the controls on on the machine.
On the machine, right. So that's how you have to be fairly enterprising and use a lot of initiative to get the job done. Yeah, but 25 years, Christine, good Lord. Well, I have a long way to go.
It's more than that, I think.
Yeah.
But, that's more or less it. Yeah. No, you'll get there, John, and Liz as well. We've got to thank Liz.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's right. I mean, with the quizzes, she provides the inspiration, and I just have to put them into words, so it works very well. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I think we've got there.
We've got there. Haven't we?
Yeah. Would you like to finish it off?
We've done it.
We've managed. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's wish the Talking Newspaper every success for the future. We've done our bit, I think. And,
yeah, looking forward to carrying on.
Looking forward to carrying on, but I'm looking forward to handing it over to the next generation of people to,
yes, I'm sure,
to carry on the
cometh the hour, cometh the man.
Yeah. Right. And thanks very much, John. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. Right. Okay.